بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you know, we have a number of penitentiaries, a number of prisons in the Kingston area and in the city itself. And many times I think what happens to me anyway, you drive by and, you know, it just becomes a part of the landscape. You don't really think about what's inside or that there are actually people living inside. But for a moment, what I want you to do is to imagine yourself in a prison cell. So I want you to imagine yourself in a prison cell where you are staying, your movements are restricted. All of the freedoms that you are accustomed to are pretty much taken away from you. So you don't really have a choice when it comes to food. You don't really have a choice when it comes to when you go take a shower. You don't have a choice as to when you can go outside and have some exercise, who you can communicate with, who you can speak to, and so on and so forth. So in other words, all of your movements, all of the things that you are used to or that you would like to do are pretty much restricted. Now, we all recognize that these restrictions or a person's stay normally in prison is or should be temporary. And a person normally looks forward to the opportunity when he or she will be able to get out and be able to savor freedom and be able to do whatever they want to do. So we all recognize it's not a place that we want to be in, but the person who's going through this goes through it because they have to. They have no choice and they have to go through it. On the flip side of that is what? On the flip side of that, we have paradise. Paradise where there are no restrictions, where material means are not a consideration. So if you want a Ferrari and you don't have $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 to get one, I'm not sure how much it costs. You know, that's not a consideration when it comes to paradise. When you want to eat or drink something, you can have it regardless of whether or not you have the means to access it or not, whether it's permissible or not, it doesn't matter. When it comes to paradise, everything is permissible, everything goes. The reason I mention this is that because, you know, sometimes as Muslims, we feel deprived. Sometimes as Muslims, we feel deprived, especially when it comes to warmer weather. So summertime is on its way in, and you know, there's a lot of things that are going on in the world, in our communities. So a lot of things we want to experience, or we would like to experience, and we see other people experiencing. And sometimes we end up feeling deprived. And we feel, you know, there's so many restrictions on us, and you know, no matter what you ask, if you ask someone about something and say, no, this is haram, that is prohibited, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And, you know, you just can't enjoy life. You just can't enjoy life. You can't do the things you want to do because there's just so many restrictions on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in this world. So let's take a look. What I want to do today is we're going to explore what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said about all of this. About our life in this world and about the things of this world. The Prophet ﷺ said, first of all, that the world, the dunya, is the believer's prison. The world, the life of this world, is like a prison for the believer and it is like a paradise for the disbeliever. The life of this world is like a prison for the believer and for the disbeliever it is like Jannah. For like paradise, and this is related by Imam Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is comparing our life in this world as to the life of a person in a prison, which is full of restrictions. So if we actually look at our lives and look at the world and we think that, you know what, I feel like I'm in a prison, there's so many restrictions on me, it's actually a sign of belief. It is actually a sign of iman, a sign of faith, a sign of belief, that we are seeing all the restrictions upon us as if it was a prison for us. And if you start seeing the life of this world as a paradise, if we start seeing this as a place of ultimate enjoyment and of doing whatever we want to do, then we should be careful, because this is a sign of disbelief. Now, why is that so? Why is that so? Why has the Prophet ﷺ compared our life here as that of a prison? Because the answer to that is because a true believer values the permanent more than the temporary. So a true believer, and someone who is truly wise, will value that which is permanent more than that which is temporary. And that goes without saying. And the life of this world is temporary. So for example, right now, we're in spring, right? So, you know, we had April showers, some in May as well, right? Now we're starting to see the May flowers. The grass is growing, dandelions just popped up the other day, right? By the way, I have nothing against dandelions. We were having a discussion the other day, and people told me, how do you get rid of weeds and dandelions? Just become friends with them. They're flowers, after all, right? Enjoy their company, enjoy the sight, and you won't have to worry about them. In any case, I don't have to do the lawn at my place. The company does it. Anyway, so springtime is a time of revival. So it's a time of revival. The garden centers are open. You know, people are doing spring cleaning, and you know, if you go on the highways and so on, and you know, everything's being cleaned up, and people are getting ready. But what's going to happen? All of this beauty, all of this cleaning, all of this effort that's going into growing flowers, right? So people are going to the garden centers, buying flowers, getting the gardens ready, working, spending the weekend on it, cutting grass, controlling the weeds, all of these things. What's going to happen in the fall? It's going to be gone. Right? All those flowers are going to be gone. The weeds won't exist anymore. And things will be dirty again. So it's all temporary. So that's the fundamental principle. Fundamental principle, which is very obvious but often forgotten, is that nothing is permanent in this world. That nothing that we have in this world is permanent, it is all temporary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the reality of this world and what it contains in a few verses, and I'll quote a few of them, in a couple of them here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Know that the life of this world is what? Is only play and amusement. What is it? Pomp and mutual boasting among you, and rivalry in respect of wealth and children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compares it first to play and amusement. So for example, we go to a theme park. And so if you go to Canada's Wonderland, or if you're down in the States, go to Six Flags. And, you know, you spend your day there, or if you're in Florida, in Orlando, you spend a few days at Disney. And, you know, or a child is playing a game, or if you're having a sport, this is all temporary. You know, no one goes and lives in Disneyland for the rest of their life. Right? Nobody just goes in the middle of the theme park and sets up camp there and lives there forever and just, you know, plays through their whole life, right? It's not like that. So it's temporary. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about pomp and mutual boasting, right? So we go to a party, for example, especially for the sisters. Right? So you go to a party, you get ready, you know, you put on your jewelry, you wear nice clothes, your makeup and so on. And then, you know, there's a bit of rivalry maybe among the men as well. You know, who has the best suit, who's wearing the best clothes, especially in weddings, right? But in the end, what's going to happen? You know, people are going to take off the makeup, take off the jewelry, take off the good clothes, and go to sleep. And again, the human being is just a regular human being. And again, that is temporary as well. When it comes to wealth and children, there's rivalry many times, right? So people will see, oh, okay, so my friend just bought a house. They used to live in a $250,000 house. They just bought a $350,000 house. Maybe I need to do that too, right? Or, you know, I have this car and someone else just bought this car, and then you think, hey, maybe I should get one too, and so on and so forth. Or when it comes to children, not so much maybe these days, but still happens sometimes. You know, one family sees someone's having about to have a child, and they're like, hey, maybe you should as well. So at the end of the day, though, what happens? At the end of our lives, we pass away, we die, and we are left with none of this. None of this is of benefit to us, except, of course, if we have children who are pious and who pray for us and are a source of benefit for us after we have left. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about vegetation, and this is interesting because we're in springtime. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is like the likeness of vegetation after rain. It is a likeness of vegetation after rain. Thereof, the growth is pleasing to the tiller, Right? So the person who has tilled, who has worked at it, it's pleasing when the flower comes out, when the vegetables, when the produce comes out, it's pleasing. Afterwards, it dries up and you see it turning yellow, then it becomes straw. Right? So this is the likeness of the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about. That you work at it, you get the results, but at the end of the day, what happens? It dries out and it's worthless, just as straw. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end of the verse says, and the life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. The life of this world is only a deceiving enjoyment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, you know, this is almost like a dream. Right? So if a person sees a dream, right, if a person sees a very nice dream in the middle of the night and starts taking that as reality, right, starts thinking that whatever they saw in the dream is reality and that's what they're actually doing, then of course they're fooling themselves. Right? It's all delusional. It's not real. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the true reality, of course I'm not going to tell you that, okay, you don't actually exist here. You are not sitting here. I'm not going to say that. Of course you are. You exist where you are right now. But the point is that the true actual reality is what lies afterwards in the hereafter. And what we are experiencing here is a limited time trial, limited time test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, also, and this life of the world is only amusement and play. Verily, the home of the hereafter is the real life. It's not me saying it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it clearly, that the home of the hereafter is the real life, if they but knew. So this is something that often escapes us. But the fact of the matter is that what is going to come next is the true life, the real life. And we shouldn't be fooling ourselves in only focusing on building this one and forgetting about the next one. And it's important to be able to see beyond what is apparent. Right? Because a lot of times, what's the saying, right? Don't judge a book by its cover. Right? Usually it's used to when people judge one another. But really it's important to have the ability to see through what is apparent. And I'll give you some examples. So think about the different things that people see when they see some of the following. So for example, the beauty and grandeur of houses and hotels. Right? So you go into a brand new house, or you go into a very nice 5-star hotel, or even 7-star as they have nowadays, right? And you see beauty. Right? You see something that is wonderful, that is very pleasing. But what is the reality of that? What is the reality of that? Every time I drive to the masjid, I pass by an area where there's a development going on, new houses being built. And just right now, you know, I just saw part of the roof, right, the skeleton of the roof, the frame, just sitting in the middle of the street. Literally. I mean, nobody's drying on it, but it's like in the middle. Right? And it's all wood. Right? It's all wood. And, you know, concrete. Would anyone want to go live in that? If it wasn't beautified, nobody would want to go live in that. Right? But then it's covered up. There's gyprock, there's paint. And you put all of this on top of it, and it starts looking beautiful. But if you actually strip it down and see what's the reality of it, what really lies behind, it's not something that anyone would want to enjoy on its own. What's very interesting is there's somebody who did a project on buildings that have decayed in the city of Detroit. And I found this to be very interesting, personally. Because Detroit was a bustling city with a lot of activity, you know, a lot of industry, and then it went through a period of decline, as it is right now as well, as have other cities in the U.S., for example, Buffalo. If you look at the pictures, you know, you see hotels. You see very famous, very old hotels. You know, tall skyscrapers where there was, you know, so much activity that had taken place. You see shopping centers that were bustling centers of commerce. You know, and these hotels that I'm mentioning, you know, these were places where very famous people had come and stayed. And you look at the pictures of the decay. Right? You look at the building that has rotten literally over the last 10 or 20 years. And everything is falling apart. The piano that was once used, you know, for ballroom dinners and for parties is lying dead, upside down. Somebody has came in and flipped it around on its head. You know, the chandeliers are broken. The paint is peeling off the walls. Right? And these rooms where all these famous people have lived and probably paid hundreds of dollars to stay in are in complete decay, that no one would want to go and live there right now. Right? And you look at that and you just compare and imagine to, actually they have pictures of what it was like before as well. So you compare the two and it's so revealing. I mean, it's something that's very apparent and obvious, but it's something you don't realize. And when you see it, then you realize, okay, this is the reality. This is the reality that we were valuing something so much at one point, but now this is what has become of it. So I found that to be very interesting. If you Google, if you search it on the internet, I'm sure you'll be able to find the pictures. Same thing with cars as well, right? Cars made of metal and parts. If somebody has an accident and the car gets totaled, right? Nobody can ride in it. Nobody wants it anymore, right? And it's totally destroyed. Human beings as well, right? We spend sometimes, you know, large portions of our lives, right, for a human being, right, for other people. That's not to say that it's not important to have good relations with our family members and others as well, but we need to put it all into perspective. We need to all put it all into perspective. Wealth as well. When you see wealth, when you see money, what do you see? Right? Do you see value? Do you see power? Right? Do you see purchasing power? Or do you see liability, responsibilities? Right? Or concern? Right? If somebody has money, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you, you don't want it sitting around, you think, okay, what am I going to do with it? I need to invest it somewhere. So you invest it somewhere, then you start thinking about your investment. Is my investment safe? What's happening to the stock market? You know, is my property okay? Are the tenants going to pay on time? Are there renovations needed? And so on and so forth. And you start thinking about all of these things, and then, you know, is that money beneficial, or does it become a matter of concern and a matter of worry? And if something goes wrong, and then you find yourself in debt. Right? So when you see money, when you see power, what do you actually see? Right? These are things to think about. Thus the Prophet ﷺ tells us. The Prophet ﷺ tells us the actual value of the world and what it contains. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that it's practically nothing. And he says that were this world worth a wing of a mosquito? Think over this. Were this world worth a wing of a mosquito, he, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would not have given a drink of water to those who reject him. That if this world was worth even as much as a wing of a mosquito, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given a drink of water, a single drink of water, to those who reject him. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who feeds everyone in this world. Whether you are a believer or a disbeliever, whether you value him, respect him, and worship him, or whether you don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is feeding everyone and giving water to everyone. So from that we see that in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not even worth as much as a wing of a mosquito. Does anyone trade wings of mosquitoes on eBay? Or Kijiji? No, there's no value. Right? There's no value for this. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us. You know, these things appear to be valuable to us. So for example, if you're playing Monopoly, right, the board game, Monopoly, and you have fake paper money, right, and kids are playing, you're saying they're playing, that money that you have has value, right? But only in that game, right? It appears to be valuable. If you actually take Monopoly play money and go to the store, people are going to think you're crazy, right? Of course, it's not worth anything, right? So in the same way, these things have temporary value, right? In this game, in this test that we are in, they have value and we perceive them to have value, but the actual true value is like the paper, the play money of Monopoly. The actual true value in the currency of the hereafter is practically nothing. Therefore, the wise person, now what am I trying to say here? Am I trying to say that, okay, you need to quit your job this afternoon and just go live in the forest somewhere? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the wise person will be careful not to get over-involved. The wise person will be careful not to get over-involved in worldly pleasures and pursuits. Not to get over-involved, that's the key. And instead will lead a life of balance. A life of balance. Balance is something that is extremely important in our lives, and that's what Islam teaches us as well. Islam teaches us to be balanced. Right? The Prophet ﷺ and his companions did not leave everything, did not leave their families, their homes, their businesses, did not just leave everything and start worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, they led a life of balance where you have a family, you coordinate with others, you socialize with others, you do what you need to do to earn a halal living, and you interact with others, you work for good in the world, you try to improve your community and your country and your world, but at the same time, you balance it all and ideally do it in such a way that all of that builds your hereafter as well. It's not only for this world, but anything that you do also builds the hereafter as well. So the goal is that we do what's good and needed for this life. So we do what's good and needed for this life, and we use it as a means to build up and to prepare for the next life. And the parable that the Prophet ﷺ has given for our life here and our time here in this world is that of a journey. And the Prophet ﷺ said, live in the world like a stranger or a traveler or a wayfarer. So much wisdom in this saying. Live in this world as if you are a stranger or you are a traveler. That's how the Prophet ﷺ is recommending us to live. So for example, when we're flying, say if you're flying overseas, to the Middle East or India, Pakistan or Bangladesh, wherever. Let's say you have a stopover in like, I don't know, Dubai or whatever, London. You know, you don't actually say, okay, I'm going to be at London Heathrow for, 5 hours. So I need to go and buy a house there. And I need to buy a car. And, I need to make arrangements for this and for that. You don't do that because you know you're only going to be there for 5 hours. Right? So because you know that your time is limited, you only get what you need for the stay and you prepare for whatever you need for the journey itself. Right? That's all you worry about. And then you worry about what you're going to do next when you actually arrive at your destination. What's going to happen at customs and immigration? What's going to happen? How are you going to get to the home or the place that you're going? Where are you going to stay? What are you going to do there? How long are you going to stay? These are the things that you're worried about. And not, what you're going to do on the flight or during the stopover. So the time spent in journey, compared to life spent at home, at your home base, there's no comparison for most people, unless you're a frequent traveler, you're flying around the world all the time. But normally, there's no comparison between the time spent traveling and the time that's spent at home. So same as the comparison between life in the world and the life in the hereafter and the blessings that it contains. The same as the comparison, just like the proportion of travel versus stay at home, similar is the comparison to our life here versus the life in the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ has again given an example of that by saying this world, meaning its pleasures and its duration, in comparison with the hereafter, is like what? Is similar to the amount of water that one gets when he puts his finger in the sea. This world, in comparison with the hereafter, so the pleasures and the duration of this world, comparison with the hereafter, is similar to the amount of water one gets when he puts his finger in the sea, and he's like, let him then see what it returns with. So if a person goes to the beach, right, or is on a ship and dips their finger into the sea water and pulls it out, back out, how much water is going to come compared to the sea? Practically nothing. A few drops. So the Prophet ﷺ says that this world, its pleasures, its duration, in comparison with the hereafter, is like that. That's how they are. That's how they compare to one another. So the point is, don't spend all your time planning for the journey instead of the destination. Let's not spend all of our time planning for the journey instead of the destination. Rather, balance it out. Let's try to balance it out, optimize it, so that every minute of this life is beneficial for us here and in the hereafter. Every minute of our life is beneficial for us here, in this life, and in the hereafter. So here are some of the things that we can do practically. So first of all, understand that the restrictions upon us, understand that the restrictions we face as believers are a part of being believers in this world. It's simply a part of that. So try to accept it, try not to resent it. So if you can't party in a certain way, or if you feel you can't dress in a certain way, or eat certain things, or enjoy life as others do, that's okay. That's okay. There's more dimensions to all of this for a believer than for a non-believer. Right? A believer knows that he or she has to go through these stages, these restrictions, for something that is much, much better in the hereafter, inshallah. Secondly, don't get suckered in by glamour and glitter. Don't get suckered in by glamour and glitter. The reality is that it is temporary. And it is a type of deception. So before you buy something, or before you fall for something, seriously consider its reality. What is the reality of this thing that I want to invest my time and my energy and my wealth in? Is it, you know, is it really worth it? What is its true worth? And how much do I actually need it as opposed to how much do I want it? Right? How much do I need it versus how much do I actually want it? So think about all these things. Make a rational decision. Don't just rush into, you know, buying a car, buying a house, or doing something simply because you feel like doing it. Really think about it and ponder over it before you take such a step. Focus on the things that can build the life of the hereafter. So for example, charity, good deeds, good manners, good character, acts of worship, all of these things can help in doing that, inshallah. And don't become obsessed with work. Don't become obsessed with pursuit of wealth, pursuit of health, you know, six packs, abs, this, that. Do what's needed to live a decent, simple, and peaceful life in this world. So focus on what you need to do, right, to live a decent life, a peaceful life, a simple life, and do whatever you need to do, even for those things. So the things you need to do to survive and to operate in this world, those do with the good and correct intention, and inshallah, they too will become a source of reward and a source of building the hereafter. So for example, if you need to go to sleep, right, you make the intention that I need to go to sleep not just to, you know, get rest because I'm tired, but so that I can get rest, so that I'm refreshed the next morning, so I can wake up for Fajr, and that I can offer my salah properly, and I can do things that are good. So that I can do things that are good, for example, going to work to earn a livelihood for my family, which is a fard, which is an obligation upon you. So you make good intentions for all of this, and all that becomes a source of reward. If a student is studying, you make the intention that I am going to school, I'm going to university, to my classes, so that I can learn, and with my knowledge, I can benefit others, I can benefit Muslims, I can benefit Islam, I can benefit the world, I can earn a halal livelihood, and all of this then becomes a source of reward. And every step that you take, towards your classes, right, every step you take, every minute you spend studying, every minute that you spend in an exam, inshallah, all of it will become a source of reward. So try to bring all of it together. Do it with the right intentions. That way you benefit in this world and you benefit in the hereafter as well. I'll leave you with a hadith, inshallah. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the pulpit. So he sat on the pulpit and we sat around him and he said, this is very important, what I am concerned most is of the flourishment and the beauty of this world will be available to you. The Prophet ﷺ said what? That he is concerned most that the flourishment and the beauty of this world will become available to you, to the believers, and that will be a source of moving away from Islam, a source of possible trouble and of destruction. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to understand the reality of this world and of life, and make us among those who are not only successful in this world, but also in the hereafter as well.